Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Will he or won't he? Will Chris Christie run for president or not? They say he has to get in by Thursday or so, even just to make the official deadlines, get organized enough to enter the important primaries, which keep getting earlier and earlier. And so we hear that Chris Christie is going to hold a 1 o'clock news conference today in Trenton. He hasn't addressed the press in New Jersey in over a week, and he just added this 1 p.m. press conference to his schedule for today before we went on the air. We're going to touch base briefly now with Ben Smith from Politico, who is, Ben, barreling toward Trenton in a car at the speed of Turnpike?
As fast as we can get there. I think we're going to make it.
So I don't know. You know, I'm guessing that somebody doesn't announce a run for president in Trenton, New Jersey, as opposed to somewhere else. So if he's holding a news conference there, that it's either just a clarification that he's not going to run and tell everybody to go home, or it has nothing to do with national politics and he's going to talk about the Transportation Trust Fund or something.
I don't think this is going to be a New Jersey Highway press conference. I mean, he and his people have signaled that they're going to announce this very intensely awaited by Republicans' decision about whether he's going to run, and they certainly signaled that, you know, they're going to do it this afternoon, but they're attempting to hold very tightly what it is he's going to say and to let him say it himself.
Any clues or any tea leaves?
National Review is reporting that some New Jersey Republicans say he's not going to. As you say, it would be very unusual. But outside his office in Trenton, it would not be the typical place to announce a campaign for president, but it would have to be then an atypical campaign.
So what's the scene going to be there at 1 o'clock?
I would imagine there are reporters from all over the country, or at least all over the Eastern Seaboard, barreling down various Jersey highways right now, and on the headed on Amtrak for Trenton, and it'll be a total madhouse.
All right.
Which, if he says he's not going to run, will very quickly dissipate.
We will be covering it at WNYC and our politics website. It's Free Country at 1 o'clock today, and I think that's all that we need to say about it right now. Is that we don't know. National Review is reporting what they're reporting, and I guess we're going to learn the answer from Chris Christie at 1 o'clock today. So Ben Smith from Politico, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and while Occupy Wall Street protesters are in the streets decrying undue corporate influence and corruption, our next guest is a CEO with an uncharacteristic message. He is urging fellow business executives to withhold political contributions until the parties in Washington learn how to work together for the good of the country for a change, and donate instead to a small business lending fund, which he just announced yesterday. Howard Schultz is CEO of Starbucks, and he's spearheading a campaign called Upward Spiral 2011. He's also involved with the politically moderate No Labels movement, which is also fighting political polarization. And Howard Schultz, it's my pleasure. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you start with Upward Spiral and what you're trying to accomplish, both on the withholding side and
Sure.
the donating side?
I think most Americans watched with profound disappointment when Congress was unable to reach a bipartisan debt ceiling deal about a month ago. And that resulted, I believe, in a crisis of leadership and a crisis of confidence in America. And as a result of that, I just thought this is a moment in time where we can't rely on government and wait for government, but business leaders and corporations should in some way come together to send a signal to Washington that we no longer want to embrace the status quo. And that resulted in leading an effort to suspend contributions exactly what you described.
So then, you have some major firms signed on, I understand, AOL, NASDAQ, correct me if I'm
yes.
wrong, J. Crew, Hasbro.
Yeah. You know, about 150 CEOs and like-minded people, and we also had 137,000 people call in on a webcast town hall meeting that I held about a few weeks ago. So we've hit a nerve, and I think the nerve is that we just don't recognize the leadership in Washington in terms of how we feel and the fracturing of the American dream. And as a result of that, I think this is a moment in time where we just cannot no longer be a bystander.
Does it lean toward one party or the other, or would you not mind whether the solution came out more liberal or more conservative, let's say, if they were working more well together?
Well, I've been open by saying that I'm a registered Democrat, but this is a bipartisan effort. This is not about partisanship. It's about citizenship. I'm not here to blame the president or to point fingers or blame on one party or the other. I'm simply saying that the way in which Washington is doing its work through the lens of ideology and reelections is not in the best interest of our people.
So if some candidate starts talking about imposing more stringent oversight requirements on, say, the labor standards of coffee suppliers that Starbucks does business with, or some other policy that might cost your company a lot of money, you're not going to start donating to their opponent.
No, that's not what this is about. No. What this is about is really sending a powerful signal to Washington that we no longer want to embrace the status quo. We deserve better, and we need better leadership.
So the one part is to withhold cash.
Yes.
And on the other side, you want to jumpstart small business lending. You're doing an event in Harlem this morning.
Well, yesterday and today, I think we've made two very important announcements that we can't wait for Washington, and how can Starbucks and other companies use its scale for good. So what we announced yesterday was that the lifeblood of small businesses is access to credit, and we know that small businesses is the driving force around employment in this country. With 9.1% unemployment and no access to credit, we've got to make a change. As a result of that, we are partnering with the Opportunity Finance Network to create microloans, microfinancing, and community-based loans in communities across America. Starbucks is going to merchandise a wristband, the one I have on, accept donations for $5 for these wristbands. There's over 60 million people who visit our stores every week. We will be able to create millions of dollars, and we'll get that money in communities across the country to be able to jumpstart businesses and have small businesses get access to credit. That's a big idea. And then this morning, as you've just shared, I was in Harlem as well as announcing that in Harlem and in Los Angeles in the Crenshaw, two communities that I believe are underserved and are being left behind, Starbucks is going to donate the profits from those stores up to $100,000 a year that will go to the Abyssinian Development Corporation in Harlem and the L.A. Urban League in Los Angeles.
How much do those wristbands cost to make, by the way?
This wristband probably costs less than $2. It'll be made all in America, but 100% of the proceeds. Starbucks is going to absorb the cost of the bracelets, and we're going to seed the initiative of job creation with $5 million for the community-based loan organizations across the country.
And what does Abyssinian do with the money that you give them? Do you monitor that at all?
Yes. Abyssinian is an amazing organization that is involved in multiple levels of trying to create opportunities for job creation, housing for the homeless, all kinds of initiatives within the community in Harlem to really help those people who are being left behind.
Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks, my guest on WNYC. So Starbucks wants to help small business. You know, one of the negative raps on Starbucks over the years is that they wind up putting mom-and-pop coffee shops out of business.
Yeah. Oh, that's a myth that just isn't true. You know, Starbucks started its business in 1971 when there was no specialty coffee business to even speak of. There are tens of thousands of stores across the country today, primarily as a result of the awareness and credibility of the coffee business that Starbucks started. And in New York City, for example, there are hundreds of independent coffee stores that are thriving across the street or near a Starbucks store.
The old story, you've probably told this a million times, but you were in Europe and you saw that they had a certain kind of coffee bar serving espresso that the United States just didn't have?
Oh, that's true. What I saw was the sense of community and the romance of the Italian espresso bars and brought that back to the United States. And I think we created a sense of community and a third place in our stores. And in many ways, the initiative around job creation and the profits from the stores in Harlem and L.A. are about community-based programs for Starbucks to do everything we can to recognize this is a moment in time when we can't wait for government and Starbucks and other companies needs to stand up and help those people.
What do you make of what's happening on Wall Street right now, the Occupy Wall Street movement?
Well, I think that there's a fair amount of angst and anxiousness and fear and the buildup of anger in this country. And the gap between the haves and have-nots is widening. The amount of revenue that the state and local municipalities have is going to cut social services in America. And this is why it's so vitally important for corporations to recognize that their pursuit of profitability as a singular goal is quite shallow, and that profitability needs to be balanced with a social conscience. And that's exactly what we're trying to do at Starbucks.
NASDAQ, I guess the NASDAQ Exchange as an organization is a member of your Upward Spiral 2011 campaign. So
yes,
that is Wall Street.
Well, no. Of course it's Wall Street, but the NASDAQ is the organization that public companies are part of to list their offerings. I think Wall Street, what you're really talking about is Wall Street, the bankers, the financial institutions. Wall Street is not the companies that make up the listings, if you want to get into the facts.
Yeah, it's like the New York Stock Exchange.
Exactly.
It's not technically, but it's certainly part of that.
It's an institution that happens to be in Wall Street.
Yeah. So, I don't know. NASDAQ, good guy or bad guy?
Oh, I think, I'm not here to point fingers at any political party or institution. Rather than blame anybody, let's stand up as we're trying, and let's do some things that are good for the communities and for the people who are being left behind.
Now, thinking of Occupy Wall Street, during the protests against the World Trade Organization in Seattle back in the late 90s, Starbucks was a focus of the anger. People were smashing Starbucks windows because it represented globalization to them, mm-hmm. And corporatization. Do you think Starbucks shops might wind up being targeted in New York, or is this a different time, either from the protesters' point of view or from the companies?
Well, I think the vandalism that took place in Seattle during the WTO was quite random. We just happened to have a storefront that was in the middle of the problem.
Do you think Starbucks was not specifically targeted?
I don't really think so, no. We employ 200,000 people. We've created an industry that doesn't exist. We're going to open up 200 stores in the next 12 months, remodel 1,700 stores, and hire thousands of people. We want to be part of the solution, not the problem.
Your remodeling is controversial among some of my staff.
Why is that?
Why? The local Starbucks down the street. I haven't seen it, but they say the remodeling is taking out chairs and leaving more people to stand at counters, in effect, to drink their coffee. Is that it?
I don't know what store they're talking about, but the majority of remodels is to actually put in more soft seating. So I need to talk to your staff.
More soft seating.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's one of the things that made Starbucks what it is. People felt that they could go in there and hang out. I mean, theoretically, this is not good in a typical restaurant model, business model, right, where you want a lot of turnover. If people
right.
go in there and nurse a cup of coffee while they
we've
chat
never
with
minded
their
that.
Friends.
We like that.
Work on their iPads, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, we've always tried to create the environment where it really is a sense of community and people can stay as long as they want.
Are you hiring?
We are hiring. We're going to hire thousands of people in the next 12 months as a result of the remodels, the store openings, and we're having a great year at Starbucks despite the downturn in the economy because of the execution of our stores and the trust in the brand.
Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks. You took out a full-page ad in the New York Times recently to promote the political group No Labels, which is trying to fight the partisan polarization in Washington. Want to tell us why you're interested in the No Labels movement and how do you see it? Is this politically moderate, politically centrist?
I'm trying to engage in a discussion that I guess just by the fact that I'm engaged in it is political, but I'm trying to take an apolitical approach, and that is about citizenship, not partisanship. No Labels is a wonderfully gifted organization that I think is on the right track, primarily about doing everything they can to promote an environment where political contributions and self-interest does not in any way pollute the political process with regard to finance reform. I'm all for that. But what I'm trying to do more than anything else is raise my voice for good and encourage like-minded business people and corporations to see that we can't wait for Washington, and we too have a collective responsibility to help America.
And would that leave you or that group more pro, let's say, Obama-style health reform, or more anti?
Well, what I would say is that Starbucks was the first company in America to provide comprehensive health insurance to every employee, including part-timers. That cost is over $200 million alone this year. So we were pro health care for the employees of a company way before this administration addressed it.
And a lot of people admire Starbucks for that. Yeah. But that in and of itself doesn't help all the people who don't work for Starbucks, who are in positions where they don't get health insurance or maybe they're laid off. So I'm just curious if the No Labels campaign, and I know you moderated a town hall meeting for them recently, is it too amorphous to catch on because it's about a good process rather than political outcomes that are closer to people's lives?
I don't think it's too amorphous. I think more than any other time, certainly in my lifetime, there's tremendous concern that people have about the direction the country's going and the lack of leadership. And I suspect we're going to see a lot more voices emerge over the next few months of very concerned citizens about the direction of the country and the fact that we need people to raise their voice and be part of the process in which the vocal minority is not mandating the agenda because the silent majority has not raise their voice, and that's what we need.
Is that part? Do you think the Tea Party is doing that, and now the Occupy Wall Street movement is doing that, or are those the two wings, and you want all the other people who are not in either of those?
I think there are extremes on both sides that have dominated the agenda, and I think we need the people in the middle who have been fairly silent to get engaged in the process.
So would you like to see potentially even a third-party centrist political presidential candidate?
That's not why I'm here, so I'm gonna avoid that question. Sorry.
I'm not asking you, is it going to be you?
No. It's definitely not going to be me, but I'm not here to really comment on political parties.
Were you a Ross Perot fan back then?
I don't talk about who I voted for, but I'm a registered Democrat.
Right, okay. So you're not interested whether anybody could be a 21st century, just get under the hood and fix the problem. And
I think we have to fix our problems. I think we need truth-telling from our political leaders. And there has to be, I think, a comprehensive understanding that we can't embrace the status quo and we need reform and reinvention.
So these companies in Upward Spiral who will withhold political donations because of the useless polarization, what would Washington have to do to get Starbucks and the other Upward Spiral corporate members largesse again? How will you know when the conversation is sufficiently productive?
Well, first off, the crisis of confidence that we have in this country has spilled over to other countries, specifically in Europe, that has their own problems as well. That crisis in confidence, in my view, is directly linked to the fracturing of confidence that was directly a part of the political process that did not produce a long-term debt ceiling deal. The Congress and the President need to agree on a long-term debt ceiling that would restore confidence in America. Then there needs to be a singular focus among congressional members on one thing, the domestic agenda, job creation and growth for the country.
What else would you like to say before you go?
I like to say that despite the problems that we've had, if you take an historical perspective, We have crossed many roads and many perils before. I'm highly optimistic about the country. I think things will get better, and I'm hopeful that the political leaders will hear the message we're trying to send, and that is we deserve better and we need more from them.
Can you give us the website for the Small Business Lending Initiative, whether businesses or individuals want to donate?
Sure. CreateJobsForUSA.org.
Do you have a most common type of Starbucks coffee that you drink yourself?
A French press of Sumatra or a Doppio espresso macchiato would do me fine.
From the horse's mouth, Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, a third way approach to helping working families, government programs for parents that the left and right might both like. Stay tuned.